Back in July of 2010, you could buy Bitcoin for 0.08 of a penny. If you bought $100 worth, you'd have about 125,000 Bitcoin. According to the website Motley Fool, that investment would have been worth $7.9 billion earlier this week. Not a bad 11-year return on investment. How in the world does something like that happen? Also, what is Bitcoin? The short, simple answer, it's a digital currency, also known as a cryptocurrency. So what does that mean? How about blockchain, non-fungible tokens? Like it or not, crypto is pushing deeper into the American mainstream. Just yesterday, the owner of the Staples Center in Los Angeles announced the venue will be renamed Crypto.com Arena. Axios says the 20-year deal is worth more than $700 billion. We're going to pick it all apart and hopefully get a better understanding of what's going on here. And you could join in at 800-642-1234. What questions do you have about cryptocurrencies? Are there weird terms you've heard about and don't know what they mean? Do you own any cryptocurrencies? Have you thought about buying them? Why did you get involved? Is this all too new and unfamiliar? You're going to stick with what you know. Call 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. Vivian Fang is an associate professor and the Honeywell Professor in Accounting at the Carlson School of Management at the University of Minnesota. She teaches a course on crypto. Vivian, thanks a lot for joining us today.
Well, thank you for the introduction.
We saw a survey come out from an industry group of people finding out that a lot of us don't know much about cryptocurrency. 98% of people lack an understanding of basic crypto concepts. So let's start at the very beginning with that in mind, Vivian. What do we mean when we say cryptocurrency?
Absolutely. Let me start with the basics. So cryptocurrencies are decentralized digital currencies that rely on cryptography for security. So I always say that there are three special things about cryptocurrencies. First, they're virtual, meaning that they have no physical forms. There are no bills and no coins for you to see. Second, all cryptocurrencies are secure through cryptography, meaning that encryption techniques are used to ensure that records of cryptocurrency transactions are not tampered with. Third, most cryptocurrencies are decentralized, meaning that there's no central issuing agency like the Federal Reserve Bank or central clearing agencies like banks or credit card companies behind cryptocurrencies. So they entirely rely on the distributed ledger technology, typically a blockchain technology to record transactions.
And blockchain is a word that's key to this and another kind of confusing one. Can you put that in radio host terms that I can understand?
Yeah, absolutely. What's a blockchain? A blockchain, in simple terms, is a multiple-party data sharing platform. So if you have a lot of transactions that involve multiple parties, blockchain could come in very handy. So new data can only be uploaded to the chain if the participating computers on the chain agree. Existing data cannot be edited or modified afterwards. In more technical terms, a blockchain is a distributed, append-only ledger of provably signed, sequentially linked, and secure transactions that are replicated across a network of computers. And updates are determined not by a human, a government, or any other central authority, but by a software-driven consensus. And this consensus in the Bitcoin version of blockchain is commonly referred to as mining, which I'm sure many of you have heard of. And what is mining? Mining is basically a bunch of computers raising their computing power, trying to solve a mathematical puzzle to find a missing piece.
The best known cryptocurrency is one you and I have both mentioned already, Bitcoin. How many others? How much has this exploded into other kinds of coin or whatever they're being called?
Yeah, absolutely. Bitcoin, introduced in 2009, was the first real cryptocurrency and remains to be the most popular one with the largest market cap. Well, today, I guess Bitcoin dipped below $60,000. So the market cap is just a bit over $1 trillion. And the second most popular cryptocurrency is Ether, which builds on the Ethereum blockchain. And Ethereum has the second largest market cap just behind Bitcoin, which is around $480 billion today. And there's this very interesting difference between Bitcoin and Ethereum. Now, Bitcoin was intended to be a currency from the get-go, but Ethereum was actually created to allow developers to build and publish smart contracts on the network, which is why it is often described as a programmable blockchain. And the Ether is actually the token used on this network to facilitate operations. And for this reason, Bitcoin tends to attract general investors, and Ethereum tends to attract investors who are more into technology. And like you said, right, there are many, many other alternative coins and tokens. As of today, I believe there are over 14,000 types of coins and tokens traded on various exchanges and platforms. And I obviously don't have time to comment on every single one of them. But let me just highlight a few interesting ones.
Go for it.
So first, there's Litecoin. The thing about Litecoin is that, as you can probably tell from its name, it confirms transactions much, much faster than Bitcoin. There is another popular coin these days, Solana, which positions itself as a better and faster version of Ethereum. So it is a close competitor of Ethereum. There is Mana, which is a token for Decentraland, a platform that allows its users to buy and sell virtual properties. It is a very interesting token, especially if you're into the whole concept of metaverse. There is this Binance coin, which is a utility token used on Binance, a crypto trading exchange. And of course, there are meme coins like Dogecoin, Shiba Inu, Squid, which are named after many animals that you can think of. The thing about these meme coins and tokens is that they are highly subject to pump and dump schemes, so you have to be careful with them.
We're talking to Vivian Fang from the University of Minnesota, looking at cryptocurrencies, Bitcoin, Bitcoin, Ether, Dogecoin, and all the rest. And you could join in with your questions at 800-642-1234. Do you find it all confusing? You are very much not alone, according to surveys. Have you invested in one of these cryptocurrencies? Have you bought something with them? Do you accept one, maybe Bitcoin, where you work? Does your line of work require you to use these kind of tokens? 800-642-1234 is the number to call. That's 800-642-1234. Vivian, when I think of currency, I think of, you know, dollars and cents. And one thing I can do with those is walk into a place and exchange them for goods and services. Or I could do that sort of virtually with a credit card. How common is it for people to just be able to buy stuff with Bitcoin or other virtual currencies?
Well, just like how you spend fiat currencies like US dollars, you can spend cryptocurrencies at many online businesses now. Thanks to PayPal, many online businesses now take major cryptocurrencies like Bitcoin and Ethereum for payment. Last year, PayPal introduced checkout with crypto service, so you can easily spend cryptocurrencies online while PayPal is accepted. And if you like to buy and sell cryptocurrencies or trade them, there are many places that allow you to do that. You can transact cryptocurrencies through platforms like Robinhood, PayPal, Square, or Coinbase, or you can do it locally. I believe that there are crypto ATMs in almost every state now.
We got a Facebook comment from Pete who says, how and why are cryptocurrencies so volatile? What's their real value? So kind of two separate questions there, really. First of all, yeah, we see a lot of volatility in the values of a lot of these coins. Why is that?
Yes. So that is a very good question. It's also a very tough question to answer. For assets like stock, right, we can apply valuation techniques to get a sense of whether they're overpriced or underpriced. Right, I teach some of these valuation techniques in my class. And for fiat currencies like US dollars, the Fed plays a big role in deciding its value. Unlike stock or fiat currencies, cryptocurrency values are mainly affected by supply, the market's demand, and competing cryptocurrencies, which makes it very difficult to come up with a precise number. Now, on the one side of the argument, cryptocurrencies are of great value, to people like libertarians or cypherpunks. Those are the folks who created cryptocurrencies in the first place, because they represent a truly decentralized currency that is free from government intervention. So you will always have people behind cryptocurrencies if they subscribe to the same philosophy or ideology. Cryptocurrencies are also of value because they cannot serve as medium of exchange, and they're anti-inflationary by nature. For example, Bitcoin. Bitcoin is capped at 21 million, and you can't go over that. Of course, on the other side, most cryptocurrencies have no intrinsic value. This is because they do not generate cash flows, nor do they have stable value. And its price, you know, as you mentioned, can be all over the place. So I do believe for cryptocurrencies to move towards a mainstream acceptance, a certain measure of price stability needs to be achieved.
We're talking about cryptocurrency, blockchain, and more, trying to make sense of it all with Vivian Fang, Associate Professor and Honeywell Professor in Accounting at the Carlson School of Management at the University of Minnesota. You can join in at 800-642-1234. Do you have a question about digital currency? And love to hear from you if you have thought about investing or have bought Bitcoins or Ethers or Dogecoin or whatever other digital currency. Tell us why you did it, what you've done with it, if you're willing to share that story. Call in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234. You can also email ideas@WPR.org or post on the Ideas Network Facebook page. The conversation continues coming up on Central Time. This is Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret. We're picking up our conversation about cryptocurrencies, what they are, how they work, whether they're here to stay. Vivian Fang is with us, Associate Professor and Honeywell Professor in Accounting at the Carlson School of Management at the University of Minnesota. She teaches a course on crypto. You can join in at 800-642-1234. That's 800-642-1234 with your questions. Maybe your experiences with Bitcoin or other digital currencies. Do you have them? Do you use them? What do you think? 800-642-1234 is the number. Let's go to your calls now. John is with us in Eau Claire. John, hi.
Hi. I just kind of wanted to speak to the history of Bitcoin specifically a little bit. So really, Bitcoin was born out of the bailout decisions from 2008. And that's basically why it was designed the way it was designed, for that deflationary nature of the currency.
Gotcha. John, thanks for the call. Vivian, I think the timing is right there. Was that part of the motivation for creating Bitcoin, worries about inflation, wanting to have it as an extra, I guess, hedge against inflation?
More than that, but he's, you know, partly right. And to understand how cryptocurrencies were created, we have to do a bit of time traveling. If we go back to the 90s, and when some folks who label themselves as cypherpunks grew increasingly skeptical of central banks. And so they really wanted a decentralized currency that is free from government involvement and intervention. And the worry extends beyond inflation. They want a decentralized currency that is truly native to cyberspace and has nothing to do with the government. And of course, you know, that was just an idea in the 90s, and it was not until 2009 did Bitcoin, the first real cryptocurrency, became a reality.
Thanks a lot for that call at 800-642-1234. You've used that phrase, Vivian, free from government intervention a couple times. Is it necessarily going to stay that way? Our governments around the world, I should say, looking to tax or regulate or do things to intervene in Bitcoin and other cryptocurrencies?
Yeah, so that's a very interesting question. Well, I can tell you that there's definitely more regulatory interest and more regulatory efforts in the crypto space over the past 2 years. In my view, regulations are not necessarily a bad thing for cryptocurrencies, because they are necessary to the stability and the mainstream acceptance of cryptocurrencies. And if we look at the big picture, though, the fact that the U.S. government is looking to collect an estimated total of $28 billion worth of crypto tax to fund the infrastructure bill is telling us that the crypto market is probably not going to go away anytime soon.
Let's go back to our callers now. Josh is with us in Madison. Josh, hi.
How are you doing? I have kind of two questions. The first one, is there a difference between buying Ethereum and mining Ethereum? And second, is there a trusted source on how to get into it, like a specific YouTube channel, or is it just randomly looking for them?
Josh, thanks for that call. First of all, mining versus buying. In this case, you mentioned Ethereum. They are very different things, right?
Well, they are. You are doing different benefit cost analysis, and you're also comparing the investment to other alternatives. When it comes to investing, right, you just put your money in Ethereum and you are comparing this particular investment versus investing in stock or other type of cryptocurrencies. And if you're looking into mining cryptocurrencies, you are doing an entire different set of calculations. You have to figure out whether the Ethereum that you're able to mine can outweigh the energy cost that you have to pay. So it's a very different type of calculation that you have to do before you decide on either one.
And Josh is wondering about a source for finding out more about Bitcoin. I mean, I assume there's a lot out there on the internet of varying quality. I'm not looking for investment advice for our listeners here, but what kind of things would you suggest somebody do for due diligence before they get into this fairly complicated market?
Absolutely. Well, first, they can always come to the University of Minnesota and take a class with me. But joking aside, there are many books and YouTube videos that people can look up. I really like the, open course offered by Princeton on YouTube, but the course is a bit on the tech side. And for basics, I think the book on Mastering Bitcoin is a good start. And for crypto-related news, Cointelegraph and CoinDesk are also great websites.
Josh, thanks for the call. Good luck if you pursue that. We are talking about cryptocurrency with Vivian Fang from the University of Minnesota. We'll go now to Judith in Milwaukee. Judith, hi.
My question for Vivian and people who are advocating and supporters of Bitcoin and NFTs is, how do you square that with global warming? Okay, Bitcoin mining is a very energy-intensive activity. I mean, we read about it. The livability of neighborhoods that are around these huge data centers is also quite difficult. And to me, Bitcoin's NFT and environmentalism is a huge oxymoron.
Judith, thanks for the call. I've seen concerns, Vivian. A lot of energy goes into the production of these various cryptocurrencies, raising concerns about create climate change emissions. Is that a concern you've run into?
So let me start by saying that it is true that as we stand, mining still consumes a large amount of energy. At the same time, the industry is taking a lot of initiatives to switch to more energy-friendly, more environmental-friendly way of mining. For example, that Ethereum is moving from proof of work to proof of stake, which consumes less energy. And also the industry is investing in a lot of renewable energy efforts and projects. So, I mean, for this industry, energy consumption is a life-death kind of situation. So you can count on them investing in renewable energy, and hopefully that it will require less energy going forward.
Thanks for the call, Judith. I will go now to Todd in northern Wisconsin. Todd, hello.
Good afternoon. If I were interested in buying a cryptocurrency, let's say Bitcoin, and I guess from my understanding, I would have to use dollars to buy that. What would Bitcoin do with those dollars? If cryptocurrency is the currency of the future, how do you pay for it with the currency of the past?
Todd, thanks. What happens to my dollars when I use it to buy Bitcoin, Vivian?
Well, it really depends on where you buy Bitcoin, right? If you buy it from a Bitcoin exchange, or a crypto exchange, or a crypto platform, it goes to the platform. And if you buy from any company, your dollar is going to go to the company or platform. because they have to settle using fiat currencies. If you buy in some of the purely crypto trading platform like BISC, then you could go be converted into a different type of cryptocurrencies.
Thanks for the call, Todd. Just one quick experiment, Vivian. If I wanted to start a coin, Robcoin is taken, but Ferretcoin isn't. If I create Ferretcoin with somebody smarter than me who does the blockchain, how does that initial value get set? Do I just pick a number, or what determines its value?
For the most part, yes. That kind of goes back to the first question, right? How do we decide on cryptocurrency value? You can pick a number, but it doesn't mean that you will get that number, right? You can initiate that chain. You can initiate a smart contract in Ethereum, and the value could plummet because the market doesn't buy the value that you set.
Interesting. Vivian, thanks so much for joining us today.
Thank you.
That's Vivian Fang, associate professor and Honeywell professor in accounting at Carlson School of Management at the University of Minnesota. Talk to her today about cryptocurrencies, what they are, how they work, and what the future may have in store for them. Still time for you to share your thoughts on cryptocurrency, maybe your personal experience if you've dabbled in it on one side or another. Tell us about it over on the Ideas Network Facebook page or tweet us at Central Time WPR. Ferretcoin does not exist yet.